Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, November 22nd. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America. It's great to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we get ready for Thanksgiving on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Now, today is the memorial of St. Cecilia, virgin and martyr. She was a native of Rome and the patron saint of music and musicians. Since the earliest days of the church, St. Cecilia has been mentioned in the Roman canon of the Mass. Now, today is also the 59th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, while the 35th president was riding in a motorcade in downtown Dallas, Texas. Walter Cronkite of CBS News reported to our shocked nation.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th president of the United States.
It was one of the most traumatic events in U.S. history. 59 years ago today, I remember I was a little boy in kindergarten at the time, and to this day, I can never forget those events. And every time I hear Walter Cronkite, you know, it brings a tear to your eye, what our nation went through during that time. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, to this day, there's a lot of people who remember that historic day 59 years ago today when JFK was shot.
Yeah, John, ends up being one of those where were you moments where we remember exactly where it was. Too young for me to remember that, but have studied it thoroughly. For many, they saw that as the end of innocence for the U.S. in the modern era and kind of the start, really, of the turbulent 60s at that point. And that just set off several days of violence around Dallas as well. That day, police officer J.D. Tippit shot as Oswald was trying to get away. And then nightclub owner Jack Ruby, of course, ending Oswald's life just days later as well. But the beginning of a wild decade for America.
Absolutely. In fact, I can't even say, the date, November 22nd, without flashing back to that day. So I just wanted to share with our audience a little bit of what it was like on that on a very dark day in American history. Let's talk about the things that are happening here on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. What are a few of the big stories that are making headlines this hour, Glenn?
Well, worldwide, more so than the U.S., maybe a big deal with soccer, the World Cup, football, as it's known everywhere outside of the U.S. And the U.S. Fought to a draw with Wales, 1-1 in their opener. And next game coming up on Friday against England. And, of course, the U.S. is known more for American football than our abilities at soccer. But go USA.
It was kind of a mixed bag in their first game since 2014, the last time the U.S. was in the World Cup. According to all accounts, the U.S. dominated. They were out to the early 1-0 lead, but unfortunately, they lost it or tied it. Actually, it may have felt like a loss, but it was actually a tie in the shootout late in the game. So it finishes in 1-1. They'll get another chance to redeem themselves when they take on England on Friday. This is a must-win for the American football squad, or soccer as it's known in this country.
Yeah, well, and as you say, John, it is not where you start, but where you finish. So we'll be hoping that they can get their act together so that they can finish very strongly the next time they play.
Absolutely. We'll be keeping an eye on that.
Meanwhile, we're 2 days away from Thanksgiving. There's so much to be thankful for, as we heard last hour from His Excellency Bishop Hying. But the reality is that everything's going to cost a lot more. Turkey's up. The Thanksgiving meal is up. Glenn, what's up?
Well, the World Cup of Eating coming up on Thursday with Thanksgiving. With the prices up, turkey 24% more expensive. Even mashed potato is up 20%. But now, traditionally, turkey and mashed potatoes, not the most expensive foods out there. So hopefully that can still be on the menu. Even cranberry sauce up 18%. But should you want a lower-cost alternative, folks, we might look to what the folks in the Peanuts gang did for Thanksgiving. And by the way, the Peanuts Thanksgiving special available through the weekend on Apple TV. But do you recall, Sarah, maybe it might be what your kids would enjoy on the menu, popcorn, toast, and jelly beans.
Yes, they might want that for any meal of the day, I think. Popcorn is always on the top of their list and very versatile because you can add seasonings to the popcorn. You can put a string through it and wrap it on your Christmas tree. So many things to do with popcorn. And Thanksgiving, why not be thankful for popcorn?
It's so funny that Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus and Company, way back in the 60s, they loved popcorn, toast, and jelly beans, just like kids do today.
And you know, it's possible at the first Thanksgiving, there was some sort of popping corn, because we always see all these images of corn being shared, as well as all the other holiday fixings. So you never know. We might be very pilgrimy to have some popcorn at our Thanksgiving.
And a lot of folks getting ready to go visit their families, their relatives. There's going to be a ton of people traveling beginning today and tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care on the roads. There's going to be a lot of folks out there. And, you know, just be smart and safe as you're traveling.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to our listeners joining us here this hour. And also in Thanksgiving, we always begin every hour in prayer. Thanks, Glenn and Sarah, as always.
Sure thing, John.
We give thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings as we approach Thanksgiving. And we always pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Matthew 24, 42 and 44. Jesus the Lord says, Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we must be watchful. Christ says that no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels nor the Son, but only the Father. None of us know when the end of the world or the second coming of Christ is going to happen, but every single one of us will face the end of our life when we will meet the Lord, the just judge. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, our email morningair@relevantradio.com. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love. I am counting every blessing. As you all know, this Thursday, November 24th, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day across the United States. And on Sunday, November 27th, the entire church across the globe celebrates the beginning of the new liturgical year with the first Sunday of the Advent season. For some of us, this is the best and most blessed time of the year, but for others, It's the most depressing and dreaded time of the year. Our resident lavologist and friend Martha Fernandez-Sardina is with us this morning to share some thoughts on how we can and why we all should thank God for love and begin again, no matter our circumstances. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. Good morning, my sister Martha. Thanks so much for being with us in anticipation of Thanksgiving Day. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning. Always great to be with you, John.
Martha, let's first of all talk about what Thanksgiving Day has to do with love.
Well, we're called to be a grateful people, and it is love that moves us in a real sense to gratitude. St. Paul himself says in Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20, that we are to sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so among the greatest things for which we need to be thankful, not only on Thanksgiving Day or this weekend, but every day of our lives, is for the love of God made manifest in Jesus Christ. And in fact, St. Paul says in Romans 1, that the wrath of God and sin has come upon us because even though we knew God, he says they did not glorify him as God nor give him thanks. And so we don't want to be ungrateful. We don't want the wrath of God upon us. We don't want to be people who don't recognize that the greatest gift that we have is the love of God, is God himself. His presence, his grace, his goodness in our lives. And so we need to be thankful. And it seems to me, John, that to the degree that we love truly, to that degree is our heart welled up with thankfulness, with gratitude. And that the more we thank God, the more gratitude we have to God for all that he allows in our lives, for all that he blesses us with, the more we become humble, the more we become malleable, the more we become his children. And so we don't want to be like the proud who are seldom grateful. We want to be humble. Otherwise, we might be humbled because it is those who are humble by nature or by grace, and those who are humbled by tragedy sometimes, those are the ones who in the end many times we become grateful. So we were made for love. We were made to receive love, to give love, to live in love. And for that, we must be thankful.
Well, there's so many reasons to be thankful. And, you know, it's such a great reminder here as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. But there's a lot of folks across our nation and around the world, for that matter, that they feel depressed at this time of the year they don't count their blessings during this holiday season. In fact, some people actually dread the holiday season, Martha.
That's right. And while some are feeling quite blessed, others are feeling quite depressed, as you said, or will as the season, this quote holiday season, which comes earlier and earlier every year, it seems to me, as it progresses, many people do because of losses, the loss of loved ones who have died during this last year. I have a friend who just died and was buried yesterday. The loss of love, of relationships that have broken up, people whose marriages have ended, whose family tensions have increased because of the loneliness that so many people are feeling in their lives. And it seems that at this time of year, that sense of loneliness increases. They feel left out. And even as there's a lot of song and dance and cheer and gatherings and parties, there are a lot of people who are not so blessed and they actually are feeling more and more depressed. And then there are other people who are suffering from a lot of losses. You know, you all were talking just a moment ago about the increase in prices, just within the last year, for a Thanksgiving meal. And there are a lot of people who have had financial losses, loss of job, of income, of savings. And all the while, we're being bombarded with ads and expected to shop and spend and buy and give gifts. And for a lot of people, it's out of their reach. They can't. So it's quite depressing. And so there's a loss of joy, and even of the joy of living. You know, that's accentuated at this time of year. And it goes along also in most parts of this hemisphere, the loss of sunlight and of warmth. And so some people even suffer from seasonal affective disorder and things like that, which makes this time of year not so cheery for them, but quite gloomy.
Well, the reality is that every one of us can cheer others around us, whether it's friends or family. Can you talk a little bit about how we can help one another to have a God-blessed season of Advent that's coming up and a really blessed holiday season?
And that's why I say that we need to be thankful for love and begin again, because we are actually about to begin again. We're about to begin a new liturgical year. We're about to begin the Advent season. And so we can strive, and we must in prayer and in practical ways to cheer ourselves up and to cheer one another up. Those who have plenty and are feeling blessed can help those who are in want and are feeling depressed, and especially offer some real tender, loving care to anyone and to all who might need an extra dose of love right now. We're during the holiday season, we all have an extra dose of everything, of alcohol and food and dance and parties and gifts and all kinds of things. Well, how about an extra dose of love? How about an extra dose of tenderness? How about an extra dose of loving care toward others? How about we all be on the lookout so that we might find people in our circle and even outside our normal circle who need some love, people who are feeling down and who are love deprived, can help others also in a similar situation. So even if you're among those who are needing some tender loving care and an extra dose of love, maybe you too can be on the lookout for other people who are feeling some kind of love deprivation. And we can all, of course, whether we're blessed or stressed, or distressed or depressed, we can all spend more time with the Lord. And He is indeed the true source, the sure source of companionship and of love. So we can all spend a little extra time with the Lord, who does cheer our hearts up. And we can also, do that, especially as the decorations and the music and everything is cheering others up around us, where we can go inside into our hearts where the Lord wishes to reside, and we can go inside a church where the Lord does reside in the tabernacle of every Catholic church, and there we can ask the Lord to fill our hearts with love as we begin again this new liturgical year.
And this Thanksgiving weekend, we can draw from Sacred Scripture, the beautiful readings that Holy Mother Church provides for us, things to keep in mind as we gather with our families and we get ready to enter into this Advent season.
Yes, because a lot of times it happens that we're so busy with the turkey, with the football, with the decorations, with putting up the Christmas tree, which some people do. I have some friends who've already put it up 2 weeks ago, even in other countries. And so sometimes we can miss one of the major things of this weekend, of this Thanksgiving weekend, which is the beginning of Advent. And so we end one liturgical year, we begin another. And this is a great time for us to have an examination of conscience, kind of a year review, and a fresh start and a new beginning. And we're reminded of the cycle of life and how things begin and end and the rhythm of life. And we're invited to enter into the rhythm of the life of the Lord. But we're also given some warnings and the readings this weekend for the first Sunday of Advent, for example, in Isaiah 2, we're invited to come. Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may instruct us in His ways, that we may walk in His paths. So that's the idea, that we thankful, with our hearts full of thankfulness for God's goodness to us and His love and all the blessings that we receive, and even the cross, which is a blessing, that we begin anew and that we walk in the way of love, in the way of sacrificial love. And then the Psalmist 122, we hear, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. So this is a time for us also, if we haven't been going to church regularly, if we haven't been going to church enough, if we haven't been praying enough, if we haven't been going to the house of the Lord, figuratively and literally, this is a time for us to begin again with that in mind and say, you know what, this Advent season, I'm going to begin again. And then in Romans, we see in Romans 13 that we're called brothers and sisters to take note that this is the time. You know the time, St. Paul says, it is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, from your slumber, for your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. So we're all to look now, okay, we've progressed, I'm a year older, we're all a year later after whatever has happened in our country, whatever's happening in our world, and are we awake or are we asleep in our slumber? Are we seeing what the Lord is doing? And he continues there, the night is advanced, the day is at hand. So he says, St. Paul, to all of us, let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of life. Let us conduct ourselves, and this is very important, how we conduct ourselves. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. So, John, even as we're going to be eating and drinking quite a bit, at least a lot of people are, I'm not, but eating and drinking and doing all kinds of things this weekend, it's not about food and drink. It's not about earthly pleasures. It's not about sin and debauchery for sure. But our life, our call is to holiness and living like and with Christ, especially as we enter this new liturgical year.
And with the beginning of this new liturgical year, it's really like a happy new year for our Catholic faith. We start anew, as you said. In the final moments, how can we get closer in our love relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ to really purify and strengthen and increase our love of our Lord as we enter this Advent season?
Well, he's warning us and he's wooing us. He's calling us and he's inviting us to a four-week retreat, a time of recollection, which is this penitential Advent season. So even in the midst of the holiday season, in quotes, and even amidst the cheer and the joy and the trees and the lights and the everything else, make sure that you enter into this retreat with the Lord. Make sure that you take time to have a careful and fearless review of the past year and examination of your conscience and see where the big and small changes need to happen and take the next best step in the right direction. So set aside more time for daily prayer, maybe a daily mass, frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, maybe a weekly holy hour during Advent. Maybe you'll pick up the breviary, the Liturgy of the Hours, and do morning prayer and evening prayer, night prayer, and office readings, or Advent meditations. Attend your parish mission, and for sure, go to the confessional. Go to confession to lay there, bear your heart to the Lord, and set aside time for others. That's very important for those who need some tender, loving care.
Final thoughts, Martha, maybe a reminder of the reason for the season.
That's exactly right. Remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us precisely because God so loved the world. That is you and me and everyone else. So remember to thank the Lord for his love and reciprocate that love to him in prayer and in your love for others.
Well, Martha, thanks so much for your insights and for being with us here this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Advent to you.
Thank you. And to you as well, and to all you, our listeners. And remember, you are loved.
And so are you. Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and the host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic apologist William Albrecht will tell us about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So stay with us, America, as the final hour of Morning Air continues on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Are you ready for some faith, food, and fun? Welcome back to Morning Air on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, as you know, here on Morning Air, here on this program and on the network in general, we love scripture. I love to share the Word of God with you every morning, what we call the power scripture from the playbook of life. But there are some people who ask the question, is the Bible anti-science and is God a moral monster? Did the stuff in the Bible actually happen? And if it did, why does it matter now? Join my colleague, Cale Clark, in an exploration of God in the Old Covenant with Old Covenant Controversies, an 8-episode examination of 4 key issues for today's spiritual seekers. We're talking about evolution, history, violence, and sexuality. Deepen your understanding of the unusual and sometimes jarring events unfolding in the Old Testament and what they can tell us about God in the New Testament today. Tune in to Old Covenant Controversies with Cale Clark on The Faith Explained, 12:30 p.m. Central, and on the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. Our number, once again, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. As we approach the Advent season, which incidentally starts this coming Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent, it's a good time to reflect on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is true God and true man. He is the reason for the season. Joining us live is Morning Air contributor and Catholic convert, our resident apologist, William Albrecht, to discuss the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. William is an international speaker and debater, and he's participated in well over 65 live and moderated debates. He runs a website called patristicpillars.com, which is dedicated to the early church fathers. He's also the author of several books, including The Definitive Guide to Solving Biblical Questions About Mary, Mary Among the Evangelists, and The Secret History of Transubstantiation, Pulling Back the Veil on the Eucharist. Good morning, Brother William. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Great to be with you, John. Thrilled to be with you. Thrilled to be talking about really an incredibly vital topic to our Catholic faith. And as you pointed out, right before the beginning of Advent, and really a beautiful, beautiful topic as well, brother.
Absolutely. It's so easy to get carried away with all the lights and the decorations and the food and the Christmas trees and all the stuff. But we have to keep an eye on the reason for the season, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I thought we would dive into what the incarnation actually means. Can you, first of all, explain for us what is the incarnation?
Definitely. And I love to break it down by pointing people directly to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And when we look to the compendium, our beautiful compendium to the Catechism, we read in section 214 to 217 and 231, it says, God is truth itself, and as such, he can neither deceive nor be deceived. He is light, and in him there is no darkness, quoting 1 John 1:5. Then it says, the eternal Son of God, the incarnation of wisdom, was sent into the world to bear witness to the truth. So this is the heart of the incarnation. Our Lord and Savior, our God, Jesus Christ, has eternally existed, but he came into his own creation in the flesh through the Virgin Mary. That is what we call the incarnation. And really, it is something magnificently beautiful. As you pointed out, what a beautiful season. Gorgeous Christmas trees, gorgeous decorations, but we need to realize the reason for the season. And at times, brother, as you pointed out, at times people tend to not understand, what do we mean? Okay, what does it mean by Christ coming into creation? Does it mean that he began to exist at that time? No, it means he came into his creation, but has eternally existed as God, eternal God, but of course, his existence with a human nature, that began in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Immaculate Mother Mary.
He became flesh and dwelt among us. I've heard it described as he pitched his tent among us.
Yes, without a doubt. And this really is a great, great point, because people will then point to the New Testament. And then we may have our Jewish friends and maybe other people that are looking at it from the outside in, and wondering, well, you know, where do we find this ever implied in the Old Testament? And you do find it indeed in the miraculous sign given to you in Isaiah 7, where it says, "Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Well, this is what Emmanuel means, brother. It means God with us. This prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament, and we have it right there in the Gospel of St. Matthew, where we're told directly this means God with us. So there's a prophecy. It's right there in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7, and that great sign is fulfilled. And here's the incredible thing, brother. Not only is it fulfilled in our Lord becoming incarnate for us, but incredible how his Immaculate Mother Mary, our Immaculate Mother Mary, plays such a vital role in these amazing prophecies as well. So interconnected with her son that really they are inseparable. That really is amazing, isn't it?
It really is amazing. And, you know, the more you study sacred scripture, sacred tradition, the more in amazement one can be when you see all the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies from the Old Testament that were fulfilled by only one person in the history of the world, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Some scholars say there's as many as 450 plus prophecies, every single one of them fulfilled by Jesus the Messiah. And when I discovered this a number of years ago, I was just absolutely, you know, fascinated by the connection between some of these Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament by only one person, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Incredible point there, without a doubt. The Old Testament is full of prophecies, and we find these prophecies fulfilled in our Lord in the New Testament. How amazing, because we even have one. You know, we just read Isaiah 7. Now we're looking at Isaiah 9:6, where it says, "A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom." And this is talking about the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the amazing thing. He's also called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. But we point out that this does not mean he is God the Father, but rather Everlasting Father means he is eternal God, and he uses the title Everlasting Father because he is a teacher as well. Prince of Peace, as we know, our Lord is the Prince of Peace. So these Old Testament prophecies we see, brother, come to be fulfilled in the New Testament in a magnificent way. We know that not only biblically, but historically, there's only one person that can fit all of these descriptions, all of these foreshadowings and prophecies. That is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Mighty God. He will sit on the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. A reminder of the solemnity of Christ the King that we celebrated just last Sunday. Such a special time. There is so much to unpack here in these scriptures. And really, our church has such beautiful teachings. There's at least three specific facts that I wanted you to share with our audience about the incarnation of Jesus.
Definitely. The incarnation is incredibly important. But what does it really imply? What is really packed up in there when we talk about the incarnation? It is vitally important to realize that, number one, we're talking about the divine person of Jesus Christ. And remember, terminology is so important. That's why it really is important to stick to the terminology that the Catholic Church has laid out according to scripture and sacred tradition. Number two, it is talking about also the human nature of Jesus Christ. And number three, the hypostatic union of the human with a divine nature in the divine person of Jesus Christ. They are united in a perfect manner. This is what it means when we talk about the hypostatic union. Christ was fully God and he was fully man. This is a very, these are very important facts of the incarnation. And we can, we believe as faithful Catholics, as Bible believing Christians that hold to the word of God, which is written and which is oral, which is also sacred tradition. We believe we can show this definitively.
And we haven't even gotten to the New Testament scriptures, Brother William, but I'd like to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of this conversation about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition, if you have any questions or thoughts that you'd like to run by Catholic apologist William Albrecht, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with William Albrecht. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air after this.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
This is Morning Air.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving Day. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with Catholic apologist and convert William Albrecht. We're talking about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Welcome back, William.
Thank you for having me back here. Really, really enjoying an incredible show. Right before we begin Advent, John, we're talking about our Lord. We're talking about the incarnation, and what do we mean by that? And we've clarified a number of times that what we're talking about is we're talking about our God and Savior coming into creation, coming into the flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Immaculate Mother, becoming incarnate for our sake. And it really, when we really unveil everything, John, it really is an incredibly beautiful teaching, isn't it?
It really is, and before the break, we went over a few of the beautiful scriptures from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, of course, has a lot to say about the incarnation. Can you share with us, beginning with the Apostle St. John and what he wrote about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Goodness, John, what a beautiful passage. In John 1, we have the famous and incredibly beautiful testimony from St. John, who says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, here's the amazing thing. When it says the Word in the beginning was the Word, it uses the Greek logos. It is talking about Christ, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made." Here is the amazing thing, John. The form of the Greek, the way the Greek is laid out, literally means before the world was ever even created, the Logos, Christ existed. Now, of course, he didn't exist in the flesh as he would later come into the flesh, but it tells you right here, even before creation, he existed and he was present in existence with God. This is just really magnificent, because it's identifying him not only as equal to in existence in eternal glory with God the Father, but it's also telling you that he would come into existence later, as it tells you in the Gospel of St. John. Just so much magnificent theology packed into this beautiful, beautiful book of the Bible.
Once again, 888-914-9149, if you want to be part of the conversation, talking about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. William, you'll love this. My license plate, Illinois license plate, is John 1:1, in honor of that verse that you just shared with us.
That, and you realize then what a magnificently beautiful verse. That is incredible that your license plate really is that, because I imagine you were so impacted by the beautiful theology found in this, in these verses, John, because really this is the heart of our faith when we talk about the incarnation. So beautiful are these passages of sacred scripture.
Absolutely. Along with a relevant radio bumper sticker, sometimes people will wave to me like a thumbs up. Hey, I love your license plate. They'll shout out the window. So you never know. It's a form of evangelization, William.
It really, really is. And a lot of rich theology packed in to the Gospel of John. And people also look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, another incredible area, because in John 8 we read, particularly in verse 40, it says, "But now you seek to kill me." This is Christ talking. "A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am," Jesus said to them. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John, what we're being told literally here, he tells them that he knew Abraham at this particular time in history. Abraham had been long dead. He is identifying himself as being that incredible angel of the Lord of the Old Testament. But when people hear angel of the Lord, they think, well, what are you talking about, Christ being an angel? No, the Greek word for angel is angelos. It means the one that has been sent. He was sent by the Father, but he's always been eternal God. That figure in the Old Testament is identified as eternal God. And guess what? In the New Testament, Christ says, "I was that figure. I am God. I am the God that spoke with Abraham." That is why they pick up those stones, because they believe it to be blasphemy. But us as Catholics, brother, we realize this to be true, and we experience this beautiful truth every time we attend Holy Mass, as we realize our Lord is truly present in the body and the blood which we find there in the Eucharist.
There is so much to talk about. There's so many scriptures. St. Paul writes about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, so much we can unpack. Before we run out of time, can you share with us a little bit about the early church fathers, which I know is your specialty, and what the fathers said about the incarnation, maybe beginning with St. Ignatius of Antioch?
What a great, incredible early church father, John, as you know. The amazing Bishop of Antioch, St. Ignatius, who is considered an apostolic church father, writing very early in the 100s, he says in his magnificent testimony, Letter to the Magnesians, he says in chapter 6, "The ministry of Jesus Christ, who was with the Father before the beginning of time, and in the end was revealed. Do all then, imitating the same divine conduct, pay respect to one another, and let no one look upon his neighbor after the flesh, but continually love each other in Jesus Christ." And he goes on, he says in chapter 3 in his epistle to Polycarp, "Look for him who is above all time eternal and invisible, yet who became visible for our sake." There you have it right there. He became visible for our sake, but this is the incarnation. Because he is above all time, eternal and invisible by the very fact that by his divine nature, he is eternal God. And you find this teaching, brother, in all of the early church fathers. And the reason you find it there is because they were taught and trained by the apostles, and then their disciples taught and trained others in an unbroken line, what we call apostolic succession. And this is a biblical and ancient teaching, and really the heart of our beautiful Catholic faith.
Absolutely. St. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of the Apostle St. John. So how much better than to learn it from the lips of the beloved disciple himself? And Barnabas was a companion of St. Paul, and he also wrote a letter.
He sure did. And in his epistle, he talks about the pre-incarnate Christ, talking about how he existed eternally as God. And he says, He is the Lord of the whole world, to whom God set at the foundation of the world, let us make man in our image and likeness. And then he talks about Christ talking with Moses before the incarnation, receiving from the Father the command to redeem us, clearly pointing to the book of Genesis. This is amazing because he's talking about Christ being present even before creation. We have these amazing testimonies, as you know, brother, in these early church fathers. We even have the magnificent Bishop of Sardis, Melito of Sardis, who says, "This is the one who made the heavens and the earth, and who in the beginning created man." And he talks about him coming into his creation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And this really, this amazing theology, as you pointed out, brother, is all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and it is rooted in our sacred tradition as well.
Absolutely. There is so much to unpack in sacred scripture, sacred tradition. Early church fathers always drawing from the wisdom of scripture in whatever they wrote. Your final thoughts here as we approach the first Sunday of Advent.
Yeah, I would hope that everybody, if you are able to physically, you are able to health-wise get to Mass and realize as we come into the beautiful season of Advent, the true reason for the season. Really, this is a beautiful time, and it's an incredibly beautiful time to realize what the Bible is saying about our faith. And I say that we are Bible-believing Christians because we are, because the Catholic Church is a church that puts the Bible together, but we are not Bible-only Christians. That's a very important distinction. But as we delve into the Bible in this beautiful time of Advent, as we read the writings of the early church fathers as well, let us realize the beautiful truth that our Lord came in the flesh for our sake, but he remains and always will be eternal God, the God-man, our incarnate Savior, Jesus Christ.
We'll have to leave it right there. Thanks so much, William. So much appreciated. Happy Thanksgiving and a blessed start to Advent. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to being back with you, brother.
Catholic apologist William Albrecht, and now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Thanksgiving stories for you this week are a story today called Be Thankful. Even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedfast. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. From 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Deo gratias. Thank God for all the many blessings. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of the show before Thanksgiving. For the entire team, I'm John Morales. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you on the next Morning Air.